بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغيبة أشد من الزنا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاكرين والشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise belongs to Allah تبارك وتعالى Lord of the worlds, Master on the Day of Judgment May peace and salutations be on our beloved leader and guide Sayyiduna Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Amongst the many favors that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has granted us, one great favor is the favor of the tongue. Allah makes mention in the Quran, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ We have created human beings, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ And granted them the faculty of speech. The tongue is a small piece of flesh. But what the tongue, a person can benefit and a person can harm. Benefit himself as well as benefit other people. The examples are of benefiting himself, that when he makes the dhikr of Allah, when he recites the Qur'an Kareem, when he talks to people in a nice way, it will benefit him as well as benefit others. And the harms of the tongue, when a person uses the tongue by talking obscene and using vulgar language, talking to people in a manner which belittles them, which disgraces them. So on one hand, we have the benefit of the tongue, and on the other hand, we have the harms. With regards to the tongue, it is said it is a double-edged sword, because you have the benefit on the one side and you have the harm on the other side. And with regards to the tongue, many of our disputes and arguments are because of the tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in a hadith that every organ of the body or all the organs of the body plead with the tongue and says to the tongue that if you remain straight, we will remain straight. If you are crooked, then we are crooked. That is, whatever commitment the tongue makes, the organs of the body will follow suit in fulfilling the commitment made by the tongue. For an example, the tongue says to a strange woman that I will meet you at a certain time, at a certain place. So the organs of the body will fulfill that commitment made by the tongue. So that is why the organs of the body tells the tongue, if you remain straight, we will remain straight. If you are crooked, then we are crooked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith, Man samata faqad naja. That person who remains silent has attained salvation. And we know the English proverb, silence is golden. Now sometimes, it's good to keep quiet and remain silent. But on some occasions, we have to speak out, and when we speak out, we need to speak out in a manner which is respectful, which is kind, not in a manner which we will cause harm to people, which we will cause difficulty to people. That is why whenever we speak, we need to punctuate it with the remembrance of Allah. Whenever we speak, we need to punctuate it with the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith, كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة القلب. That excessive speech without the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes the heart to become hard in terms of spirituality. So excessive speech without the dhikr of Allah causes the heart to become hard in terms of spirituality. Among the banes of the tongue and speech, is one which is very common and very destructive, and that is ghibah, backbiting. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mentions with regards to this in the Quran. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite each other. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةِ. Do you know what is ghibah? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. And look at the reply and the definition that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given with regards to ghiba and backbiting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرَكَ أَخَاكْ بِمَا يَكْرَهْ. That speaking about someone, which if he hears it, he will become upset. So what does this mean? When we speak about someone, that is, he's not present there, and when he hears about it, he will become angry, he will become upset. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so if what we are saying is true, then what is that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, that is definitely called backbiting. Because when we speaking about somebody and if he comes to hear about it, he will become upset. So that is ghibah. And in the time that we are living in, we find that many of us are involved in this evil act of backbiting to such an extent that we don't even regard it as a sin. We are involved in this evil act and we don't even regard it as a sin. So that is why we need to be careful with regards to how we say things and when we talk about people. Because sometimes what we would say, I will say it to his face. That is a different matter altogether. But the mere fact that we had said it while he was not present, and when he hears it, he will become upset. So that is called ghibah and backbiting. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an incident of two women that were fasting. And while fasting, they found it very difficult to continue with this fast to such an extent that they were about to die. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to know about this. He called those two women. And when they came before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to throw out whatever they have in them. And when they threw out, pieces of flesh was taken out. And then further with regards to the verse of the Quran, which we had mentioned, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. Do you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Definitely we would detest it. So because of them involved in this evil act of backbiting, that is why they took out lumps of flesh. That is why our ulama mentioned that when a person is involved in riba, is involved in backbiting, it becomes very difficult for him to do good deeds. As you can see from this incident, where they were fasting, a good action, but they found it difficult to continue with the fasting because of them backbiting. Then another aspect with regards to namima. Namima is carrying tales. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that person who carries tales will not enter Jannah. Severe warning from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in light of the hadith. When one person, he comes to you, he listens to your story, he takes your story and your tale to somebody else and he takes another person's tail to somebody else. That is what is happening, unfortunately, in the time that we are living in. A listening ear is a running mouth. A listening ear is a running mouth. We think that I'm going to tell this brother or this person something about myself or something about someone else. You think he's going to be keeping quiet? Definitely he's going to start telling everybody else. And if you tell him, don't tell somebody, definitely he's going to continue telling the other person. And he's going to tell that person, don't tell the story to another person. And the story goes on and everybody knows about it. And we add to that gossip and to that story. That is why we need to refrain from this evil act of carrying tales as well as backbiting. And in the time that we are living in, we find that we would like to listen to this juicy gossip wherever we might be, whether in the parking lot, whether we are around the braai. We want to hear stories about what is happening in the community. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that if a person is in that company with those that are involved in backbiting, they are part of backbiting. If we are around people who are backbiting, if we have the ability, we need to stop those group of people or those people that are involved in backbiting by telling them that, you know what, you cannot backbite. It is not allowed. It is totally prohibited in light of the Quran as well as the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we cannot stop them, we rather move away so that we don't get be part and parcel of the evil crime that these people are committing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in a hadith, "Man ra'a munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi." That if any one of you sees something which is wrong, and if you have the ability, then stop it with your hand. And if you cannot, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِ, then you stop it with your tongue, by talking to them, by telling them what you are doing is wrong and incorrect. And if you cannot do that, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِ, then just to think about it in your heart. وَذَلِكَ عَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that is the weakest form of iman. In today's time, we find it difficult to stop somebody when he's doing something wrong. We find it difficult to tell him that what you are doing is wrong, because our friendship is going to break. We're going to be distanced from one another. But we don't understand that we need to help our Muslim brothers and sisters. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in a hadith, a Muslim is a mirror to another Muslim. Like how we look into the mirror and we see our physical faults or defects or whatever. So in the same way, when we see our Muslim brother doing wrong, we need to see how we can assist him in educating him and tell him that what you are doing is wrong and incorrect. We need to refrain from it. And these days we also find it, we become very upset when somebody comes to me and tells me, your son, your daughter, your wife is involved in some evil and some wrong. I become upset. Who are you to tell me about my wife and my children? But that person, when he comes to tell you, or when he comes to tell me about what he has seen with regards to the evil and the wrongdoing of my children and my wife, he has a noble intention. He wants them to be safe from this evil and this wrongdoing. We need to accept it. I need to accept it. And I need to do whatever investigations I want to do to find out if my son, my daughter, my wife is involved in this evil action. And 99 out of 100, we will find that our children or the wife is involved in such an evil action. So we need to thank that person for telling us what our children, what our wife are doing when we are not there, in our absence, etc. There's an incident of Imam Hassan Basri and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, when they came to know of people backbiting about them, they sent them a sweet dish, some burfi. And when they sent them this dish, sweet dish, these people asked, why did you send us this sweet dish? They said, we're sending you this sweet dish to thank you because you have been backbiting about us. So what happens when a person backbites about another person? There's a twofold of transfer of deeds that takes place. If I backbite of someone, then my evil deeds, or rather my good deeds, go to that person because I backbited about him. And his evil deeds come to me. So there's a two transfer or double fold transfer of deeds that take place. I commit riba, I commit backbiting. The goodness of whatever I've done, all my good deeds go to that person, and that person's bad deeds comes to me. So that is what is happening. So that is why Imam Hasan Basri and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah thank those people, because they were taking away all the evil of whatever they have done, and they got the good of all those people that have been backbiting about them. Then further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in a hadith, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. Ghiba, backbiting, is worse than zina, adultery. Now we need to understand, both are wrong, both are evil. But in this context, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws us to the attention and makes us aware why riba, why backbiting is worse off than zina. Number one, when a person commits adultery, which is wrong, Allah makes mention in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ. Don't go near zina, for verily it is a shameful act. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala didn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُ الزِّنَا. Don't commit zina. Allah said, don't go near zina. And there's different forms before the actual zina. Zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the tongue, zina of the feet, zina of the heart, zina of the hands. And in today's time, we can add zina of the fingers and the thumbs. When we WhatsApp and we send messages to strange men, strange women via social media. So zina of the eyes, when we look at strange women or strange men. Zina of the ears, when we listen to the evil of strange men and women, or to the talk. Zina of the heart, when we think about women, strange men and strange women, and all the rest of that. So that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned the riba, backbiting is worse than zina. The first one again, when a person commits adultery, he knows he is doing an act of wrong, an act of evil, he will go and ask and seek the forgiveness and the repentance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because he knows this is an evil act. Whereas, when a person commits riba and he backbites, he doesn't even know that he's been backbiting. He doesn't even regard it as an evil. So he does not seek the repentance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The second one, with regards to why riba is worse than zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is mentioned with regards to adultery, that is violation of the rights and the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are breaking the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whereas in ghiba and backbiting, we are violating the rights of our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. So when we backbite, we need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness. And so much of people we have backbited about, do we even remember how much of people that we have backbited about? And did we go to them and seek their forgiveness? Because this is hukukul ibad. If we want the son of ghiba to be forgiven by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the people to whom or of whom we have backbited, they have to forgive us. After they have forgiven us, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive us. So we can see this is the harms, and there's no benefit of riba, there's no benefit of backbiting, not one benefit, but only harms upon harms, and so much punishment with regards to backbiting, as well as carrying tales from one person to another person. We will conclude on this incident of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. He had some issues and some problems with his wife. So somebody came to him and told Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, we've come to know that we're having issues with your wife. What is the problem? What is happening here? He said, how can I reveal her faults? I need to conceal her faults because she's my wife. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man satara musliman satara Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. That person who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in the year after, on the day of Qiyamah. So I'm concealing her faults. I'm not revealing her faults. After some time, the marriage did not work out. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu divorced his wife. The person came back to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. And he told Abdullah bin Umar, now that you have divorced your wife, tell us what happened. He said, how can I tell you of a strange woman? She's no more in my nikah. She's no more in my marriage. How now must I tell you with regards to her faults? That is why we should not go out to seek the faults of one another. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given so much of precaution to the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not reveal our faults. We know the faults and the wrongdoings of the followers of the different anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why the followers of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come last, so that nobody gets to know and comes to know of our wrongdoing and our evil and our faults. So what is wrong and what is happening to the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we go out and seek the faults of our Muslim brothers and sisters? Rather look for the good of the people. If a person has, like, you know, on earth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put healthy, wholesome, pure food and has put dirt as well. If our temperament is good, we will look at the good, at the pure, at the wholesome food and we will eat from that. But if our temperament is bad, like the example of a swine, he goes out into the earth. There's good, there's pure, there's wholesome food and there's dirt. What will he go for? He goes for the dirt. So if a person's temperament is bad, he will look out for the faults of everyone else. But if his temperament is good, he will look at the good of people and in society at large. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he grants us the true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds and to abstain from evil. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us come out of this evil habit of backbiting, of slander and of carrying tales from one another. Ameen wa ma alayna illa al-balagh wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.